Great.
My name is David Frohm, and my guest today is Eric Benson, a lobbyist and a canvas director for the Montclair area for Clean Water Action. And Clean Water Action is a grassroots environmental advocacy group that was founded in 1972 to protect our environment, health, economic well-being, and also our collective quality of life. Clean Water works locally to sustain and improve environmental standards, but also to promote democratic process in which the voices of citizens determine the policy that affects our communities and the quality of life. I'd like to introduce Eric Benson, who graduated from Rutgers University and has a bachelor's degree in geography in 2004. And Eric began with Clean Water as a canvasser, and he has become a full-time organizer and field director of the Montclair District. He's also serves on the board of the Essex County Environmental Commission and is a resident of Montclair, New Jersey. So I'd like to begin, Eric. We're going to talk about diesel exhaust fumes in our inner cities and the health hazards that they create for children. So describe what kind of truck problems Newark has, if you would.
Great. So thank you so much for having me. And I am working in the Montclair office for Clean Water Action. And we do a lot of work in and around. So we do a lot of work in Newark. And one of the largest economic drivers in New Jersey, it's the Port. Port Authority. Port Newark has over 270,000 jobs and $36 billion in economic activity for shipping, trucking, warehouses, and other industries in our area. So along with this economic importance and development comes with truck traffic moving those goods and cargoes into and out of the city. So diesel pollution is it's a classified carcinogen by the United States EPA. Exposure to diesel soot, it's those very fine particles, over time will lead to lung cancer and other issues. On a short-term effect, exposure, acute respiratory issues, irritation of eyes, nose, throat, headaches, nauseousness are all acute symptoms related to exposure to diesel fumes. Children in particular, clearly, are more vulnerable. Their bodies are still developing, and any kind of exposure to children, it's going to have lifelong impacts. It will harm their development of their respiratory system and nervous systems and everything else that's still developing as they're young. Also, children's bodies are smaller, so if they're exposed to the same amount of pollution as a healthy 140-pound male, it's a higher dose because their bodies are smaller. So it's actually a similar size dose for the two groups of folks. It's going to have a more severe impact on a small child or already.
Now, you mentioned that the soot from diesel was a toxic component and a cause of the health problems. Are there other components as well in the diesel fumes?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've made some progress. Sulfur used to be a big pollutant coming out of diesel trucks, but since 2007, New Jersey's been using like a low sulfur diesel fuel, so they have to process it a little bit more heavily before they can sell it at the pump. So it's lower sulfur, which helps, but there's other it's nitrous oxides, sulfur dioxides. There's other chemicals and things. Every time you burn it, there's a lot of things that come out of diesel emissions. And again, a lot of those lead to a lot of more acute problems, like I talked about.
Yes, yes. You also, I saw in the literature that there's been some documentation, some studies which have shown the difference in health problems and health risks for children in the inner city versus in the suburbs. Could you talk a little about that?
Yeah, sure. And most of it is the more exposure you have, the more impact that it's going to have. So the amount of truck traffic coming into and out of Newark, I mean, it's thousands of trucks a day is one issue. And that someone else in outside of a suburban area that's right next to the port is just not going to see that amount of truck traffic. Other issues are things like lack of space to recreate or play. So in Newark, we've done some truck counts, you know, standing on the corner of a park, and have seen hundreds of trucks go by these parks, you know, in an hour, 250 trucks, you know, and one corner in 1 hour of time. So these spaces, the green spaces, are limited, and these are the areas that we're supposed to be sending our children to go outside, be active, be healthy. And when you have that number of trucks driving by the park over that period of time, it takes away that space that they should be recreating and being healthy in, where, you know, someone in a suburban area just doesn't see that level of exposure.
Yes, and I think that the statistic I saw was that in the suburbs, 1 in 10 children have asthma, and in the inner city in like Newark, it's more like 1 in 4.
That's right. Yes.
You know, that's a very significant difference, and it's you know, the socioeconomic impact you know, of being in the inner city having a direct, you know, health impact. So that's kind of an important issue. You also, you know, I wonder if you could highlight some of the positive changes that have occurred in the last decades in terms of, you know, we have made some progress in this area in regards to, you know, the truck. The actual fuel that's being used in diesel is cleaner than it used to be, and I think also, you know, idling, you know, the trucks are no longer allowed to sit idling. And these are, you know, really in direct effect to environmental lobbying. Could you speak about that?
Sure. So there's a couple of pieces to this. So there's another area that we've made progress. So one area is the type of fuel, and it should be emitting less poison as they burn it. Another, we've seen a lot of progress in truck technology, truck emissions, the way that they're built. 2007 was some federal regulations that reduced overall truck pollution by 90% in a wide variety of areas. You know, but all together, they say it's a 90% reduction in pollution. That's some of the particulate matter and some other things that they get when they when you burn diesel fuel in trucks. So anything from 2007. Any truck from 2007 and later is very good on emission standards. Unfortunately, at this time, into and out of Port Newark, for example, there's still over 6,000 trucks a day that that regularly enter and exit the port that are pre-2007 technology. So one of the initiatives we're pushing for is the Port Authority, the bi-state agency, to invest and improving the truck fleet and having cleaner trucks. Anything from 2007 and later would significantly decrease pollution. Another thing about the port right now in Port Newark is they're in the process of raising the Bayonne Bridge. And that's so that they can bring in bigger boats with more cargo, which we will say it's going to lead to more truck pollution. So beyond the 2007, you know, diesel emissions standards, we're pushing for a zero emission goal. Just because even trucks with better emissions, but if you have more of them, it's still going to have a direct impact on the local environment, and we know that they're having an impact right now. So so that's something that we're concerned about at this time. And I think, what was your other question that you just...
There was truck idling.
Yeah, and so idling is also, that was another law that was passed, and that's an area, if the port was more efficient, if you ever are driving around the port, you can see trucks just lined up, you know, for a mile at a time, waiting for their cargo. Unfortunately, I don't think we see enough enforcement of the anti-idling law, so while it is in place, we are not seeing enough enforcement about it. But on the other hand, you know, these truck drivers, this is, if they have to spend time and energy, a lot of times they're the lowest paid workers, you know, that are at the port. And it's not really a fair situation for them either that they have to sit and wait for their cargo all day. So we'd like to see improvement in efficiency in moving the cargo to reduce those lines. But we'd also see beyond the anti-idling law, electrification of the port would be the next step on our zero emission campaign, is that while these truckers are waiting for their cargo, they can plug their truck in, because that's their climate control. On a hot summer day, you know, they want to be running the air conditioner, but right now the only way they can do that is by running their engines. Same thing as in the wintertime, being cold while they wait for hours for their load of cargo. If they were able to plug in instead of running their diesel engines, that would be an improvement to the community as well.
Boy, that's terrific. That's something that I knew nothing about. Very, very interesting. So now, what would you say, you know, in conclusion, what needs to happen, and how can each one of us help and make a difference?
Yeah, great. Right now we are working on a zero emissions campaign. And so this is part of a national strategy, because these issues and problems that we're facing right down the street at in Port Newark, it's a lot of the same issues, problems, and challenges that they're facing in our major ports across the United States. They're not just impacting us here in New Jersey. So we're part of a national coalition, you know, pushing for zero emissions at all U.S. ports. We have a petition that we just started. I'm going to have to email you a link when we're done with the conversation here.
Yes.
But signing a petition to the U.S. EPA Administrator, Gina McCarthy, you know, urging her to move forward a port zero emissions initiative, give her the willpower and the people power to move a program like that forward. So right now, between now and February, we're working to get 100,000 signatures on our petition to Gina McCarthy, and we have a meeting scheduled in February. So I'd love to share the link with you, and you and anyone in your network that you know that can help sign the petition would help in our program to move for better emissions at our ports.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, when we're done, you'll send me contact information in terms of whatever.
I'll get you my contact information, our organization's Facebook. We're very active on Twitter, and any other, you know, links that I think would be helpful as well.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll include those things in our blog post, so that people can get in touch with you and also participate in the petition that you're working on to promote zero emissions in all of our ports. It's a great goal, and it sounds like it's you know, not so far off if we you know, put our heads to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time and getting some of this information and putting it together in a blog format. I'm glad that Carrie had talked to you and made the, you know, our little connection here. So this is great.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking forward hopefully to more interviews with you on more topics affecting really environmental health and the health of our children.
Great.
So thank you very much. I'm going to turn the recording off.